Welcome to 20 Minutes and 2 Beers In. I'm JD.
Hey, everybody. This is Bobby.
We're chuckling because we just had a little fun with the fake intro.
Yeah.
Way too much fun.
A little too much. I got into a radio voice that I didn't know how to come back from.
No, and then all of a sudden I went into a monster truck show promoter. It wasn't pretty, so...
We reset,
so... Wonderful to be here for episode 139, a special episode as we wrap up our mini tour around the NFL.
Yeah, August, we've been talking to somebody from every team that interests us and we thought would be interesting to you.
NFC, two AFC, and we finished this week with Andy Hart of the Patriots.com. He's also co-host of a Patriots football TV show. That you can tune into on the East Coast through Comcast. Wonderful discussion, and there's been a lot going on with the Patriots, and he touches on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, very knowledgeable guy, so we're very happy that we got him on the show.
We also, as always, are featuring a beer.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Delilah DeWildberry Wheat. This is from the Saugatuck Brewing Company. It looks interesting. I'm going to say, and this is out of where Michigan, Blue Star Highway Road in Michigan from Saugatuck Brewing Company. I will say I tried a couple of their others.
Yeah.
Did not like them.
No.
But this I held off for the show. What did you think?
You know, it's not bad. It says it's a crisp and refreshing raspberry wheat, and there's... aside from a raspberry smell, there's not really too much raspberry flavor. And last week we had a stout from one of our listeners that had had raspberry.
That was great.
Really good. This, it's just missing something for me.
Well, you know what it is for me? And I'm glad we only have one of these to consume. one of these. And this is the way it was with all of their beers, I feel. It was just too carbonated.
It is really carbonated. You're absolutely right, JD. I don't know that I've had a beer with this much carbonation. It's almost like you're drinking a soda. I mean, it doesn't have a strong flavor to it. There's a little bit of raspberry. It kind of tastes like soda water.
It does. I'm not going to lie. Not a big fan.
No.
Looking forward to our second beer today.
Yeah.
But we're going to have a wonderful podcast talking football with Andy Hart with the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Then we come back. We have a six-pack that I think, for the first time, you're going to be able to see what's going on a podcast.
Wow.
Because I think you're going to see Bobby weep through earbuds.
That's not going to happen.
No. And then our last call, One Stop Away. Always a good time.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, Andy Hart from Patriots.com. I'm here with Andy Hart, assistant editor of Patriots Football Weekly and Patriots.com. He's co-host of Patriots Football Weekly TV show on Comcast Sportsnet Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern and Patriots pregame social and online radio shows. Welcome to the show, Andy.
Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Boy, it's been a really quiet offseason in New England, huh?
The offseason from hell, you mean?
Has that posed some challenges for you covering the team?
Certainly. And I think it's posed challenges for everybody. I mean, whether you're a beat writer at, you know, the Boston Globe or, you know, you work for Patriots.com, it's not, you know, common to be covering murders and a lot of these legal issues. And, you know, it puts you in a precarious situation because, you know, news reporters can swoop in and cover something in as bombastic a way as they want to, and they're gone. They don't have to deal with the team anymore. They don't have to deal with players. But, you know, us as beat writers, we have to be around the team, the players, the coaches, every day. And so I think you do need to be careful with how you cover these sort of bonfire-type stories that keep sort of flaming out in different directions. So, yeah, I prefer to just cover football. I hate when real-world stuff kind of infringes upon the football here.
Yeah, I hear you. As a former broadcaster, it was always frustrating when you're covering things off the field that have, you know, very little to do with the game.
Yep, so. No question. You know, if I wanted to get into news, I would have got into news. I get into sports because I like sports and I want to cover sports. So, but, you know, this offseason obviously has been unlike any other. And really, you know, the situation is maybe unique to no other in sports. I mean, you're talking about, yeah. I know there's been other murders and different things, and Ray Caruth, but the more we find out about this Aaron Hernandez story and sort of his life story and the way it spiraled out of control, it really is a unique situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to do you a favor. Let's talk about stuff on the field, huh?
I love it. I love to talk football and on field. Perfect.
Well, let's start with the offense. Last year, seventh in the NFL in rushing, most rushing first downs in the league. Stephen Ridley, 120 or 1,200 and some rushing yards. You got Shane Vereen, who's going to jump in there. Will the running game still be a key?
I think it has to be. Now, the question is, you know, when you rattle off those numbers, and they did have impressive numbers, but a lot of that production came against passing defenses that were in nickel, and Brady would run into those happily, and the offensive line would have some success against some of the, you know, softer, speed-based, smaller defenses. Now the question is, if teams don't respect the passing game quite as much with all the things that have gone on this offseason, can that running game still churn out top 10 type yardage? Can Stephen Ridley still be a 1,200 yard back? And based on what we saw the other night, you know, there are some questions, there are some concerns, because the Detroit Lions, I thought, manhandled the offensive line and really controlled the line of scrimmage. And you saw the results with the running backs. They all had, you know, 2 yards per carry and did not have very good nights. And I think they want to be a big part of this team. You know, Logan Mankins has talked about they want to be able to run more consistently even than last year. They want to be able to run against good run defenses. They want to be able to run in running situations, but they need to prove it. And, you know, if the other night is any example against the Lions, then there's some work to be done here.
With that obviously puts pressure on the passing game. Welker, Brandon Lloyd are gone, so are their 192 catches. Leaves Danny Amendola, and then a rookie by the name of Kembrel Tompkins. Is he the story of training camp, do you think?
He's certainly one of them. You know, Zach Sudfeld, the undrafted tight end, has been a nice story, but, you know, Tompkins, who's undrafted himself, and sort of the third rookie receiver behind the draft picks, Dobson and Boyce, has come on, and he now looks like he's going to be the number two receiver on this team, you know, with the chance to play opposite Amendola, and has been with the first offense throughout training camp, and has really been the most consistent of those rookie receivers in practice and then in preseason games. And, you know, I think he was one of the few positives to come out of the third preseason game in Detroit, where he had a couple nice catches down the field, made some plays, got off the line, and, you know, that's something he had been lacking. He had been making catches underneath and some of the things of that nature, but he really made some plays against the Lions, and I think that sort of cemented his role as the number two receiver right now, and a young undrafted guy who's going to get a lot of opportunities to contribute to this passing game.
Well, last year Brady threw 34 touchdown passes. Pretty impressive. You know, you get a guy like Tim Tebow, and it's understandable with relationship with McDaniels. Does that relationship keep him on the roster?
I don't know if it's just the relationship, but clearly McDaniels is a big part of this, and I think Tim Tebow is going to make the roster, and that's in spite of everything he's done this summer, because he's not been good. He's not been good in preseason action. He's not been good on the practice field, but, you know, I kind of felt when they signed him that this felt like it was going to be a long-term project, that they were maybe continuing whatever McDaniels thought he was doing when he drafted Tebow in the first round with the Broncos. And, you know, maybe he convinced Belichick of that. Maybe Belichick was very much on board with that to start with. But I didn't get the feeling they were just bringing Tebow in to be, you know, the third-string quarterback in training camp, and then we're going to jettison him after camp. To me, if you wanted that, you'd bring in a different player, a more accurate passer, an undrafted guy who might be a developmental possibility, because you knew what you were getting with Tim Tebow. You knew he was not going to be the perfect third-string quarterback on the practice field to run plays and run scout team and things of that nature. So I'm of the belief, you know, until I see Tim Tebow kicked out of New England, I think he's going to be here, and I think he's here to sort of develop in the background and have some long-term impact potentially for this team.
How's he gelling with Belichick?
I think it's fine. You know, I think Belichick has always loved Tim Tebow, you know, dating back to Florida and Belichick's relationship with Urban Meyer, and he spends a lot of time there in the summer, on the spring, some recruiting trips. and all that, and he really respects Tebow's desire and his work ethic and, you know, how important football is to him. He's mentioned all those things numerous times. And, you know, I guess that's enough for him to look past the 1-for-7 type passing and, you know, the plays that just break down on the practice field where he can't get the ball off, doesn't seem to make quick reads. But, yeah, as a person and as a guy with a work ethic and a leader, I think Belichick loves Tebow. Now it's about getting him to be, you know, a productive football player on an NFL field.
It came out this week that Gronkowski's been at camp, been working out, according to Belichick. Have you seen much of him?
No. I mean, the first time we've seen him walk on the practice field virtually every day in training camp.
Okay.
We've seen him come out of workouts. You know, he looked sweaty. He looked like he'd been doing stuff. But he was just a spectator like us for most training camp practices. Last week or earlier this week, he was on the Rebs practice field, which is one field over kind of from where the Patriots practice, and he was running, and he was doing some rehab work. And, you know, as Belichick said, it's the same thing he's done throughout camp. I'm guessing that's what we weren't seeing when he was just coming on the field as a sweaty spectator. But, yeah, this was sort of the first time we saw him do any running in front of us on the field.
It's really a couple question marks there on the receiving core, but Belichick seems to always pull those things together. But let's talk about the defense. The defense lived by turnovers last year. Last year, they led the NFL with 113 takeaways, 38 a season, and all starts up front. Chandler Jones is a pass rusher, first-round pick in 2012. How's he been looking?
I think he's had a great summer and a great preseason. I think he looks like a guy who's ready for that year two jump that we talk about. You know, maybe not quite the year two jump that J.J. Watt had last year when he went from a good rookie to defensive player of the year. But I think you're looking at a guy, Chandler Jones, who is ready to be an impact guy off the edge, wants to be an impact guy off the edge, and understands the importance of his role coming off the edge. And, you know, I think we saw a flash of it in Philly where he had that strip sack, and he's been consistently getting after the quarterback, been creating pressure off the edge. And I also like, you know, a little bit of a dynamic they've added with Tommy Kelly as an interior rusher. You know, 2 years ago he was a 7-sack guy, and I'm not sure he's going to be a 7-sack guy, but if he's just a guy that kind of collapses the pocket and helps out, that can really benefit Chandler Jones and Rob Ninkovich and some of these other guys. So, yeah, I'm very much intrigued to see what Chandler Jones can be this year. He's added 10 pounds of muscle. He looks like he's added some sort of moves to his repertoire, and I think he's an intriguing guy off the edge that could really benefit the entire defense if he can have the kind of year that you'd expect maybe in year two from a first round pick.
And you're going to need that to take pressure off a secondary that has some changes. McCourtney moved to safety last November with the acquisition of Tlaib, and Alonzo Denard sidelined with legal trouble. Logan Ryan, Daron Harmon showing promise. And today, Rozai Dowling cut. He was second-round pick in 2011. Lots of change. Does it feel like it? Are they gelling yet?
It feels like there's a lot of change, and it feels like there's a lot of, you know, unsettled nature to the secondary. I mean, basically you have Tlaib at one corner, you have McCourty at free safety, and then you have two positions that are sort of up in the air. You know, you mentioned Dennard, and he has some off-field issues. If he's there, he's probably going to be the starter opposite Tlaib. That allows them to put Kyle Arrington in the slot. They re-signed him, gave him a little bit of money this year, but I think they prefer to have him work in the nickel packages, be the slot guy. And then the other safety position, it's, you know, Adrian Wilson was brought in, but has not looked very good in camp, and I wouldn't be stunned if he were cut come Saturday night when cuts come down. You know, so there's, you know, could end up Steve Gregory there. You mentioned Dowling getting cut, you know, sort of making him, you know, arguably the worst draft pick of the Bill Belichick era as the first pick of the second round, who really never did anything. So, yeah, there are still a lot of questions in that secondary right now. And if Dennard can stay with the team and healthy on the field, that would really go a long way towards solidifying it. Because if he's gone and then some other things sort of fall in, now you're talking about maybe moving McCourty back to corner. Now you have two questions at safety. So if Dennard can stay on the field, that leaves McCourty to stay at safety and Tlaib at the other side. Now you're just sort of filling one spot, whereas if he's out, you know, it feels like there's a lot of dominoes that fall after him.
We're going to talk fantasy question, but before we get there, what to you, offensive, defensively, what's been the biggest surprise?
Oh, the biggest surprise so far? I'm going to say Tommy Kelly. You know, I've been very much intrigued by what he can bring to this team. And, you know, you see he was a seven-sack guy 2 years in a row, and then he really sort of fell off the map in terms of production last year in Oakland. So you wonder, okay, a big guy kind of, you know, a decade in the NFL, is he running out of gas? Is he done? And he doesn't look like he's done at this point. It looks like he could be a real intriguing signing. So I think he's been one of the real pleasant surprises in camp. And if I was going to go maybe the other way, in terms of just disappointment, sort of the free agent class. You know, you bring in Adrian Wilson, you wonder how much does he have left? Well, he hasn't had a great summer. You bring in Leon Washington to sort of give a boost to the kick return game. He hasn't done much in the preseason, and you know, while I thought he looked pretty good in some practice action before they got into pads, you know, it doesn't exactly translate right now, and you know, I think he could be in a fight for a roster spot. So, yeah, I think a pleasant surprise, Tommy Kelly, but the rest of the free agent class has been a little bit lackluster.
We got to talk fantasy, and everybody's finishing up their drafts or getting ready for them. What TD numbers will Brady put up this year? He had 34 last year. Is he going to be right there again, more, less? What are you thinking?
I think he's going to be right in the low 30s. You know, he's a pretty consistent guy. You know, obviously he had those kind of spikes with the 50. But to me, he's a guy that, you know, when he's not, even when he's not having an elite season, you're going to kind of just pencil him in at 32, 33, 34, somewhere in that range. And with all the question marks, you know, on the offense this year, I don't see them, you know, really hitting their stride offensively and putting up the huge numbers, certainly not early in the year. So I think this is going to be just an average, quote-unquote, year for Brady. But obviously that's generally still a pretty impressive year because it's usually, you know, low 30s touchdowns and, you know, 10 or 11 interceptions. So it's still a pretty impressive year that most quarterbacks would love to have.
Kembrell Tompkins, we talked about him earlier. Do you think he could be a mid-round fantasy pick?
I don't. You know, aside from Amendola and Gronkowski, if he's healthy, you know, that's a concern with how much he plays. I don't think there's going to be a lot of fantasy studs in this passing game. I just don't know that there's enough consistency there. I think you could see Tompkins have, you know, a few games where he is, you know, a big part of the offense, and then I think you could see him fade and maybe Dobson come in and Boyce. And, you know, I wouldn't count on any of these rookie receivers to be, you know, contributors from start to finish on the season. I think they'll all have their chances at various points, but I don't think you would get consistent fantasy numbers out of them.
Nice. Well, 12-4 last year, losing to the Ravens, in the AFC Championship. Where do you see the Patriots finishing this year?
I think they have a pretty tough schedule, and I think they're still going to win the AFC East because I think the rest of the division pretty much stinks, with only Miami even having a sniff of competing, and they've already had some issues, obviously, with injuries, and you're putting a lot of pressure on a second-year quarterback. So I think they win the division, but I think they're probably going to be playing wild card weekend there. I don't think they're going to be a top one or two seed. I think they have some tough games. You know, you could start the year 3-0. I think they have a pretty easy start. But then you have Atlanta, New Orleans, and Cincinnati. You know, I wouldn't be stunned if they're 3-3 after that. I think those are three very difficult football games against three very different football teams. So I think this is probably a 10-11 win team. 11 is sort of the upside, in my opinion, for this season, for this team, all these young guys and these new faces and a tough schedule. And then it'll be about what it's always about, and that's, can you make some plays in the postseason? Can you get hot in the postseason? But I don't think this is going to be a cakewalk-type season that we've seen from the Patriots in some years.
All right. Well, big thank you to Andy Hart with Patriots.com. Follow you on Twitter at Jumbo Hart, H-A-R-T.
Yes.
Excellent.
Indeed, at Jumbo Hart.
Well, thank you so much, and hopefully we can talk to you down the road.
Sounds good. My pleasure. Anytime.
Well, great job with the interview, JD. It was great that he came on the podcast.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun and gave us a different insight into what's going on with the Patriots. And I appreciated how honest he was, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, with wins, with personnel,
Should be actually a really interesting team to watch.
Absolutely. They always are, and this year is no different. They got a lot of storylines going on. Well, JD, I got new album release information for you.
Ooh!
Yeah. Friend of the podcast, Michael Bernard Fitzgerald, released Yes. That's his second album, although I think they're considering it his debut album for U.S. fans. But we all know that the Love LP. Yeah. But anyways, it came out this past week, and I'm going to play one of the tracks off there. I think he's always at his best when it's just him and a guitar. And so this song is called Follow.
Where I'll go when you follow me? Will you follow? Will you follow me? Back bags and out will travel. Never been so good at a fixed life. Will you follow? Will you follow? Rose alive, we leave town tonight. Hold on, my darling. Hold on, my sweetheart. Ever when we go, babe, I'm gonna use my heart. So follow me, my darling. Follow me, my sweetheart. Ever when we go, babe, follow my heart. Yes, yes, yes,
yes. Always love to hear a little MBF. Congratulations to him on the new release.
Absolutely.
Great stuff. And we got rid of that crappy beer we were drinking earlier. It was not good.
We tried to make it.
Wow. It wasn't good.
I don't think we've ever really ripped a beer on the show. And we didn't rip the beer.
There's
but
been
we
some that
like,
are like, hey, it's not my taste. Or, no. But that was just horrible.
Yeah, we tossed that one.
This time, we're drinking the original Fireman's Brew. Mm-hmm. It's a classic American beverage. A brunette beer. German-style double bock. Really kind of an interesting taste. It was created by firefighters to support firefighters.
Yeah, it's out of California. It's a good dark beer. It's exactly what you're looking for if you're looking for a dark beer. It's got a lot of flavor to it. Good finish on it. It's a good beer to move from a good palate cleanser from the last
one. We needed it. We needed it. It's good. I like it. Bobby, it's time for the six-pack of questions, and for that, we need music, and we should start it
now.
Bobby squeaked out a win in our
drubbing and horse, as usual.
It was bad. I don't know. I came
You're
up with the game,
You're going to have to practice.
It was bad.
I think it's...
You know what? I can't even blame it on my shoulder.
You can't.
I'm blaming it on the first beer.
Yeah? Is that what you're...
I'm blaming it on that.
We both had it.
I had more of it. Bobby, the Broncos had a frigid game against the Ravens, all but wrapped up. Quarterback Joe Flacco completed one of the most improbable touchdowns
right
in playoff history. I'll get to the question. Improbable touchdown in playoff history in the final minute. I just wanted you to relive it. And Peyton Manning threw an overtime interception, led to the Ravens' field goal in the second overtime. Baltimore went on to win the Super Bowl, leaving Bronco fans in shock. And Bobby, you still look in shock. So then this. In Denver, a sign. Up on the stadium.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning's picture. Ready, he's poised, gonna throw the ball.
Mm-hmm. Looking solid, very svelte.
But also up there is one Joe Flacco, just as large as Peyton Manning. A giant banner of Joe Flacco on Broncos Stadium.
Absolutely, yeah.
How do you feel about this?
You know, every year for opening day here in Chicago, Wrigley Field is draped in Cubs. They have all these huge signs of the Cubs players.
Really cool looking.
It's really nice the way they make the stadium look. They should make it look that way all the time, but they don't.
They can't. They got a special permit.
To do that.
There we go. Historical landmark.
But anyway, it looks really great when they do that, and they don't feature any of the opposing team's players on there because they're showcasing their own. It's their stadium. It's their house. Mile High Stadium is our house. We don't need to be putting up some other players on there. Just because the NFL is opening up in Denver, doesn't mean that we have to advertise for the Ravens. It's ridiculous why they would put up there. But you know what? It's getting publicity. You don't need publicity, though, because it's already the NFL. It's the biggest game in town.
Yeah.
But as a Broncos fan, I hope somebody sneaks in there and
when you saw that, I could hear you weep from across the city.
JD, college football is back.
Oh, my God.
On Facebook this week, I saw you just put in 4 days, 4 days, and I was like, what is he talking about? And then I was like, oh, college football.
So exciting.
As we're recording, college football has started.
Yes.
I want to know what the best college football game is this weekend.
That's a good question. Clemson, Georgia?
That is a really solid... I think that's a top 10 matchup right
yep.
there.
Yep. That's probably what I would pick. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little excited for more of a local game. Iowa against hosting Northern Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
That one piques my interest. So that's what I'm going with. Bobby, the VMAs were on. Did you watch them?
I actually watched part of them.
Okay. How old did you feel watching the VMAs?
I watched it because I wanted to see Timberlake perform. And I saw the opening, which was Lady Gaga. And then I watched that debacle that was the Miley Cyrus and Robin Thicke thing. And I was not entertained by any of it.
It's horrible.
Lady Gaga really confused me, and that made me feel old. and then Miley Cyrus came out, and I was like, I have better dance moves than Miley Cyrus. I do, JD. And I don't have great dance moves.
No, you don't.
I have just a handful, and most of them only work when I'm really drunk. But they're still better than the way she was dancing on
it. It was so bad.
But, yeah, I don't know that the VMA... When the VMAs, when your award show gives out the awards during the commercials and just, here's who won on this. Now back to a performance. It's a kind of a ridiculous show. It doesn't need to exist. Especially because nobody watches music videos anymore.
It was bad. It was bad. And even Justin Timberlake's was bad because the audio was so messed up.
It was.
And they came out and said, yeah, no, it was something with the stadium, Barclays Center. Something...
You know what I think happened? I think Kanye, because he performed after Kanye.
Yeah.
Kanye and Justin, they don't get along. I think maybe Kanye's people...
A little rivalry there.
Right. Pulled a couple plugs. Speaking of Justin Timberlake and the VMAs, I thought, despite the audio, I thought his performance was really phenomenal. I don't know if you watched it.
I did watch it. It's all right.
My question is, since 2000, can you think of any artist that has had as much of an effect on music and culture as Justin Timberlake?
Beyonce.
Yeah.
That's
fair.
And that was a really quick answer on my part. I really do think she's really changed that genre a bit, breaking out from, you know, the
Destiny's Child?
Destiny's Child 2.
That crushed you. I remember when she left and you...
Because
you've been a big Kelly Rowan fan.
You can't even say that with a straight face. Yeah, I couldn't even name you like more than like single ladies. That's about it for Beyonce for me. But I do know she's had a tremendous influence, and you know JT has as well. But I think Beyonce is probably bigger.
That's fair. Bigger. Okay.
Yeah. We're drinking this double Bock, you know, brunette beer. When I went to go pick this up yesterday, I noticed it's Oktoberfest everywhere, which is fine. But when do you draw the line? When do you start drinking fall beers? Your pumpkins. I know you already had a pumpkin.
I already have. I'm already into it, man.
But
as soon as they come out, I'm like, hey,
you're done with summer then? You're done with summer?
One of my favorite summer beers has been gone for a while anyways. The Shiner.
Mm.
The Ruby Redbird. So I've moved on, JD. I've turned the page. Wow. As soon as I saw the pumpkin beers, I got giddy. And because there's two reasons why I get giddy for pumpkin beer. One, because it's delicious.
Sure.
Two, it means football's almost here.
That's fair.
Come on.
That's fair.
All right, JD, this is probably the most important question you'll ever answer on this podcast, okay? Madden 25 just came out this week.
Yes.
I want to know, and in it, they named the 20, they named on every position the all-time Madden player. That is, the all-time Madden person at that position.
Right. And you do realize that, you know, sometimes Madden boosts up a certain player.
Yep.
More, you're like, seriously?
That's why Devin Hester is the kicker returner, because he was the first guy to ever get 100 speed rating, stuff like that. Mike Allstott was the fullback because he could just mow down everybody.
Still bitter about him for the 98 season when that was our only loss during the regular season. Mike Allstott punted it in, and I'm glad.
All right, well, moving on.
Bitter.
Wow, I didn't think I'd get to a bitter part by just bringing up that. Here's the question, though, all right? This is question part A and part B.
Wow. All right.
The best Madden player in the history of Madden. So a player you could play as. And then B is, who was your favorite player to play as in Madden? Like I said, this is probably the toughest question I'll ever ask on this podcast.
The best player on Madden. You know, that's tough. I mean, Barry Sanders was very good on Madden.
Sure.
Terrell Davis was very good on Madden, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to go with a cross between Brett Favre and Peyton Manning, because he made them both godlike.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I'm going Brett Favre.
Okay.
Probably the best. My favorite to play with? Probably Brad Johnson.
Because you can make him win a Super Bowl for the Vikings? Is that why?
I can make him win the Super Bowl, exactly. I was disappointed he wasn't on the cover the next year. but yeah, I love me some Brad Johnson. And
yeah, you do.
As you walked, you know, into the studio, we did some remodeling in Studio 714. Got to see the autographed helmet of Brad Johnson, autographed picture of Brad Johnson.
Very predominant.
Predominant. We need to get Brad on the show.
That would be a great get.
I don't know if he's on Twitter. If he follows,
I don't think so.
He could be a listener. Brad, we need you on the show.
That's right.
So, anyway, Bobby, it is time for my music. And I've got two songs I wanted to play, and it was tough for me to narrow down to the one to play. But I am going to play this, and I'm not going to tell you who it's by. But the song is called Never, Never. And Bobby predicted it not even very long into it. It's Korn.
Yeah.
And a new one off their new release. And I like how they've evolved with this one a little bit, you know, with the harmonies in there. And reminds me of some, I believe, old Machine Head.
Okay.
That used to do that too. But what do you think?
You know, they got the old guitarist back. And it sounds kind of like a post-Follow the Leader Korn. And it's not nearly as heavy as what they used to be. Actually, the chorus is really one of the poppier sounding things, but it's still a pretty heavy song. And I love Jonathan Davis's voice anyways. I like, especially when he kind of makes noises. I don't know what the best part of that, how to say, like, he rap kind of makes noises. He, and
Bobby McFerrin's it sometimes.
He does. First concert ever was Korn Family Values Tour for me.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. And it was awesome. And so I've always had a soft spot for them. It's good to hear them making good music again.
Yeah. Yeah, they did a little bit a few years back where they would collaborate with
Skrillex.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I love heavy, follow the leader, mm-hmm. you know, type of Korn. And I really enjoyed it. And even if you're not a metalhead, I think that song had a little bit of everything.
Yeah, for absolutely. People. Absolutely.
So, you know what time it is, Bobby?
Time for the last call.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
Bobby, my last call takes place in Canada's Yukon Province, eh? You know, I've heard some unique things happening at bars.
Mm-hmm.
You see, like, a pickled, you know, eggs. People would eat pickled eggs.
Sure.
Pickled pig's feet.
Yeah. Yeah. Rocky Mountain oysters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, a patron had a drink from their famous sourdough cocktail. But the bad thing is he had to pay a $500 fine for drinking it.
Oh.
He drank their cocktail, but had to pay a fine.
And was issued a fine?
Was issued a fine. This is a famous, famous drink at the downtown hotel in Dawson City. And, well, it involves drinking a shot of whiskey. I like whiskey.
Very good.
With a preserved human toe in the glass.
Whoa!
Oh, yeah. You're fined the $500 if you swallow the toe. He swallowed the human toe.
A pickled toe is in the drink?
Yes. He said the bar has a backup toe to carry on its tradition.
Oh, my God.
He said the toe had been swallowed a few times in the past, but Saturday marks the first time the toe swallowing seemed to be intentional.
Yeah, I don't know how you swallow a toe and it's not
swallowed
intentional.
Swallowed it intentionally.
Which toe is it? Do they say?
He did not say.
Is it a big toe?
It did not say if it was a big toe or not.
Nail on it?
But they're raising.
You want a toe? I can get you a toe.
Wow, Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it. The guy said, that Terry Lee
Amateurs.
Of the downtown hotel said, the bar is now officially raising the toe swallowing fine to $2,500.
That's fair, but they wouldn't need to worry about that with me. Why would you even do a shot with a toe in it? What is the tradition?
Shot? You know, I've had Goldschlager.
Yeah.
It's got gold in it.
Yeah.
I've thrown that down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tequila has a worm. Some tequila.
Have you drank the worm?
I've never drank the worm. Have you?
No.
And I have no desire to.
There's some. During Oyster Fest, some of the times they do shots with oysters in them.
Okay.
That's fairly common. I've never, ever
human
heard of being
toe.
Like, and do they, like, the bar has a toe and a backup toe. So, after somebody does a shot with a toe, do they, like, clean? What's the cleaning process for a toe?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's in alcohol.
Oh, my gosh.
So, disgusting.
Do you remember, JD, in Dumb and Dumber, what is the name of the pet store that Lloyd wants to start?
Something cuts.
No.
No, it's not.
Remember, that was the truck that he drove.
Okay.
And maybe I'm thinking Harry. I'm sorry. It was Harry. It was Jim Carrey's
Oh,
character.
You totally threw me off then.
I got worms. I got worms.
I got
remember
worms.
That?
That's right. Yes.
Well, we got a situation in Oklahoma. They got worms, JD. They got worms. They actually, you don't drink the water. Dave Matthews Band made that line famous.
Mm-hmm.
This town is bringing it back because they have red worms in their water system.
On purpose?
Not on purpose. They don't know how they got in there. It's a small town called Colcord. It's near the Arkansas border, and there's a bunch of red worms in the water system, so they're advising residents not to drink the water until they figure out how they got in there and get them all out. But you can take a shower. Just beware you're going to get hit with some worms.
Oh, that's disgusting.
They cleaned, drained, and re-cleaned the water tower, but no worms were found in there. They're still trying to figure out how it happened, but you can't drink the water, you can't brush your teeth with it, you can't prepare your food. So I don't know if they're not brushing their teeth in Oklahoma.
It's Oklahoma.
I don't know how big of a thing that was before then.
Oh, no offense to our Oklahoma listeners.
But apparently there's been, they've had Walmart and the Cherokee Nation have donated water. It's a small town, 815 people.
Okay.
But they've had to shut down the schools because the water system's not working. But they got worms, JD.
They got worms.
Red worms in the water. Worms are pouring out of their faucets.
Ugh.
Can you imagine you flush the toilet and a bunch of worms come into your toilet bowl?
That is disgusting. You're like, what did I eat?
Yeah.
What was it, me? Oh, that is gross. That is too gross. Last calls, one stops, and you have a picture of
it. I have a picture of one of the worms on there.
Oh,
can you imagine?
That's nasty.
Oh, that's not fun. That's not fun for business.
No, no. Yeah, too gross.
Gross.
Last call, one stops away. Well, a huge thank you to Andy Hart for being on the show. You can watch Andy on the East Coast, Patriots Football Weekly TV show on Comcast Sportsnet, Thursday, 7:30 on the East Coast. You can also follow him on Twitter at Jumbo Hart, Jumbo H-A-R-T, or check him out on Patriots.com. Big thank you to Andy for being on.
Outstanding. And as always, you can follow us on Facebook, or you can follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at 2BeersIn. That's the number 2, at 2BeersIn.
And also, thank you to everybody who voted on the music last week. It took a while to get the poll up. I'm going to find a better poll. The poll we had up.
Oh, did you lose?
No, I won, but it wasn't as user-friendly as I'd like. I just want a poll on there. You click, or you select right there. I don't want people to have to go to a link to go to death. So we'll figure it out. We'll get this set, but I won this last week. So we will see you next week. We are the last generation of hope, and
I wouldn't mind it. Together we died alone. Because you've been a big Kelly Rowan fan.